Thank you for listening to a recorded worship service of Gaiman Mennonite Church.
Our church is located just outside Adamstown, Pennsylvania.
We hope this service points you to Jesus, and we invite you to come worship the Lord with us.
Gaiman Mennonite Church.
Enjoy the service.
Certainly want to welcome all of you to our worship service this morning and greet you in the name of Jesus, whom is our Savior and Lord, and invite you to turn to the Mennonite hymnal to number 34. 34, Give to Our God Immortal Praise. It wouldn't surprise those of you who know me if I said I have many favorite songs, which is true, but this is certainly one of them. One of many. Give to our God immortal praise, the God who is creator and also redeemer. We'll sing all six verses. And if you allow me to make a comment here, I learned something about this song this morning that I never knew before, and that is that you have sung three phrases three times each, and they are, "Wonders of grace to God belong," "Repeat His mercies in your song," and "His mercies ever shall endure." You sung them all three times, and they're listed in a systematic fashion.
This morning's message from Phil is going to be about what do we teach our children. I think over the years we've developed many ways to teach ourselves, our children, about God's Word. One is hymns. Many are hymns. Many truths come forth of hymns. Another one is what we call our catechisms, ways of question and answer programs to learn God's truth. And I came across this one twice in 2 weeks. Like, I'm really supposed to be knowing this one. So I'm just going to read. It's from the Heidelberg Catechism, question 1. God's divine truth wrapped up in this paragraph. What is your only comfort in life and death? The answer given, that I am not my own, but belong, body and soul, in life and in death, to my Savior, Jesus Christ. He has fully paid for all my sins with His precious blood, and has set me free from the tyranny of the devil. He also watches over me in such a way that not a hair can fall from my head without the will of my Father in heaven. In fact, all things must work together for my salvation. Because I belong to Him, Christ, by His Holy Spirit, assures me of eternal life and makes me wholeheartedly willing and ready from now on to live for Him. God's truth packages it in a way that we can remember it. I invite the ushers to come forward this morning for the offering. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for today. A new day, a blessed day, You've given it as a gift. Day to remember our mothers, our mother-in-laws, our grandmothers, and the women who are so significant in our lives, to honor them today for what they have sacrificed for us. And Father, we give to You a portion of what You've given to us. Father, I pray we would give this with blessing, with gratitude and thanksgiving, remembering all of You poured into our lives, as we give it back to You for You to use in Your mighty way in Your kingdom throughout this world. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Good morning and welcome to each one of you to our worship service. I invite you to pray with me. Father, thank you for your great love for us. Thank you that you have made a way for us to come out of darkness into light. Thank you for time to think together, to meditate on your word. Thank you for the privilege of being able to gather in freedom to worship you. Please help us, help our hearts to be ready soil for your word and what you want to do in our lives to grow us to be more like you, to love you and to love others. In Jesus' name, amen. I'd invite you to take your bulletins, and there's a verse under our motto there. We've been experimenting kind of this year with trying some monthly themes, and this is a kind of on the theme of new beginnings for the month of May, thinking about springtime and new beginnings in our lives spiritually. So let's read together Acts 3:19. Repent then and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out, that times of refreshing may come from the Lord. And I would just encourage you, that's why we are here. We gather to worship Jesus Christ because we understand from Scripture that if we repent and turn to Him, He will do exactly that, wipe our sins out, and we can stand before Him forgiven and free of that. And we can experience times of refreshing. That sounds good to me. Times of refreshing and times of being at peace in our relationship with the Lord. Well, today is Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day to mothers among us, grandmothers. And I was thinking a little bit about that, and I was thinking how mothers are a little bit like how-to videos. How-to videos. I don't know if you in your life have benefited from any how-to videos, videos that teach you how to do something. And it's pretty amazing nowadays if you go on the internet on a computer and go to YouTube and type in how to, you name it, and there's probably a video for it. One experience I had with that was, so my mother-in-law had a safe deposit box, just a small one, but like one of those fire safe, flood safe things that you put important papers in, and then you're supposed to remember where you put the key. Well, she had this safe box that she lost the key, and so it was son-in-law's job to see if he could get into this safe box. So I went to YouTube. How to pick a lock on the brand of this safe box. Once you know it, there's a YouTube video on how to do it. Involved a paper clip and a little fidgeting, and sure enough, I got into the safe box. So could be dangerous. But moms are a little bit like that. Right? When before we know what we're doing in life, we have mom and dad. But mom seems to be there, at least maybe I'll speak for myself, but time, dads were usually off at work and moms spent the majority of our childhood days with us. So they were our how-to video. They were how we go about life. And everything good that we look up to in our mothers really is a reflection of a characteristic of God. They gave us life. They care for us. They protect us. When I wrote that word protection and thinking of mothers, it reminded me of childhood days of watching a television show. I think it was called Mutual of Omaha's Wild Kingdom. And it had different nature videos of these guys who would go out and video stuff in nature. But one of the exciting really exciting ones was when there was some predator going after the bear cubs and they ran into Mama Bear. And when Mama Bear was, defending cubs, there was going to be a fight and she was going to battle till the end. Moms are our how-to video. And we learn a lot of good things. There's a story in the Bible that we're going to read today. It's an old story, but it also reminds us that we can teach our children not so good things. And so as we read this story, consider our own lives. I'm speaking to mothers, but I'm speaking to all of us, right? Because we all teach other people by our words and by our actions. Even young people, you're teaching the next generation. You're teaching the little kids how to live and what's cool, what's important. We are all teachers, and the next generation looks up to us. And even as young people, we're told to be an example to older people. So we're all constantly teaching. What are our lives teaching other people, good or bad? Let's look at the story in Genesis 27. Genesis 27, if you have a Bible with you. When Isaac was old and his eyes were so weak that he could no longer see, he called for Esau, his older son, and said to him, "My son, here I am," he answered. Isaac said, "I am now old and don't know the day of my death. Now then, get your weapons, your quiver, your bow, and go out to the open country and hunt some wild game for me. Prepare me the kind of tasty food I like and bring it to me to eat, so that I may give you my blessing before I die." Now Rebekah was listening as Isaac spoke to his son Esau. When Esau left for the open country to hunt game and bring it back, Rebekah said to her son Jacob, "Look, I overheard your father say to your brother Esau, 'Bring me some game and prepare me some tasty food to eat, so that I may give you my blessing in the presence of the Lord before I die.' Now, my son, listen carefully and do what I tell you. Go out to the flock and bring me two choice young goats so I can prepare some tasty food for your father, just the way he likes it. Then take it to your father to eat, so that he may give you his blessing before he dies." Rebekah is deliberately going against her husband's plans to bless their oldest son. What is Jacob learning from this? Well, even Jacob questions this. Jacob said to Rebekah, his mother, "But my brother Esau is a hairy man, and I'm a man with smooth skin. What if my father touches me? I would appear to be tricking him and would bring down a curse on myself rather than a blessing." So even Jacob recognizes that this is something deceitful and not good. His mother said to him, "My son, let the curse fall on me. Just do what I say. Go and get them for me." So he went and got them and brought them to his mother, and she prepared some tasty food just the way his father liked it. Then Rebekah took the best clothes of Esau, her older son, which she had in the house, and put them on her younger son, Jacob. She also covered his hands and the smooth part of the back of his neck with goatskins. Look at the effort that goes into this deceit. Wearing the other one's clothes. I can't imagine how this actually worked, but putting this goat skin on his hands and the back of his neck. Then she handed to her son Jacob the tasty food and the bread she had made. He went to his father and said, "My father." "Yes, my son," he answered. "Who is it?" Jacob said to his father, "I am Esau, your firstborn. I have done as you told me. Please sit up and eat some of my game so that you may give me your blessing." Isaac asked his son, "How did you find it so quickly, my son?" "The Lord your God gave me success." Do you see how this lies just lead to more lies? Deceit leads to more deceit. Isaac said, asked his son, "How did you..." Oh, I'm sorry. Then Isaac said to Jacob, "Come near, so I can touch you, my son, and know whether you really are my son Esau or not." So the dad is recognizing, he's got some doubt here too. Is this really my son? Is he suspecting deceit here? I'm not sure, but he wants to know for sure. Jacob went close to his father Isaac, who touched him and said, "The voice is the voice of Jacob, but the hands are the hands of Esau." He did not recognize him, for his hands were hairy like those of his brother Esau. So he blessed him. "Are you really my son Esau?" Again he asks. "I am," he replied. Then he said, "My son, bring me some of your game to eat so that I may give you my blessing." Jacob brought it to him and he ate. And then he brought some wine and drank. Then his father Isaac said to him, "Come here, my son, and kiss me." So he went to him and kissed him. When Isaac caught the smell of his clothes, he blessed him and said, "Ah, the smell of my son is like the smell of a field that the Lord has blessed. May God give you of heaven's dew and of earth's richness, an abundance of grain and new wine. May nations serve you and peoples bow down to you. Be Lord over your brothers, and may the sons of your mother bow down to you. May those who curse you be cursed, and those who bless you be blessed." After Isaac had finished blessing him, and Jacob had scarcely left his father's presence, his brother Esau came in from hunting. He too prepared some tasty food and brought it to his father. Then he said to him, "My father, sit up and eat some of my game, so that you may give me your blessing." His father Isaac asked him, "Who are you?" "I am your son," he answered, "your firstborn, Esau." Isaac trembled violently. "Who was it then that hunted game and brought it to me? I ate it just before you came, and I blessed him, and indeed he will be blessed." When Esau heard his father's words, he burst out with a loud and bitter cry and said to his father, "Bless me too, my father." But he said, "Your brother came deceitfully and took your blessing." Esau said, "Isn't he rightly named Jacob?" Which means, figuratively, he grasps the heel or he deceives. "He deceived me these two times. He took my birthright and now he's taken my blessing." Then he asked, "Haven't you reserved a blessing for me?" Isaac asked Esau, "I have made him Lord over you and have made all his relatives his servants. I have sustained him with grain and new wine. So what can I possibly do for you, my son?" Esau said to his father, "Do you have only one blessing, my father? Bless me too, my father." Then Esau wept aloud. His father Isaac answered him, "Your dwelling will be away from the earth's richness, away from the dew of heaven above. You will live by the sword, and you will serve your brother. But when you grow restless, you will throw his yoke from off your neck." I'll pause here just for a minute, and then I'll finish the chapter. But I don't know that we fully understand the meaning and the value of this fatherly blessing in this culture and the context here, but how significant it was for Esau to not have that blessing, and that Isaac, his father, couldn't just restate that, but it was this blessing, this act that was done, and he seems to say that there's no way it can be reversed. Verse 41, Esau held a grudge against Jacob because of the blessing his father had given him. He said to himself, "The day of mourning for my father, the days of mourning for my father are near. Then I will kill my brother Jacob." When Rebekah was told what her older son Esau had said, she sent for her younger son Jacob and said to him, "Your brother Esau is consoling himself with the thought of killing you." So, again, we're kind of focusing on the actions of the mother here. And this deceit that she encouraged Jacob to have leads to Esau now wanting to kill her brother, his brother. "Now then, my son, do what I say. Flee at once to my brother Laban in Haran. Stay with him for a while until your brother's fury subsides. When your brother is no longer angry with you and forgets what you did to him, I'll send word for you to come back from there. Why should I lose both of you in one day?" And that comment is kind of telling also. Why should I lose both of you in one day? You know, Rebecca's actions, her words, how she's influencing her son Jacob is really motivated by her own interests, right? She's caring about, I think it's a misguided way that she's trying to bless her son Jacob to have him get what's good. But really it's out of her own wishes. "Why should I lose both of you in one day?" Verse 46. "Then Rebekah said to Isaac, 'I'm disgusted with living because of these Hittite women. If Jacob takes a wife from among the women of this land, from Hittite women like these, my life will not be worth living.'" And again, she's kind of being this, some of these statements might be true. She might not value the Hittite women, but she's trying to cover up that she's sending Jacob away and to protect him from Esau's anger. So what can we learn from maybe not so good choices of Rebecca and how it affected her son and her relationship with her husband? In some distorted way, Rebecca may have thought that she was being loving to Jacob. But what were the things she was actually teaching her children? She taught them that it's okay to love one more than another, right? This was motivated out of, she was playing favorites for Jacob over Esau. So she's teaching her children that it's okay for mom to love one of her kids more than another. Now, we might naturally connect more with some of our children, or we might naturally connect more with different people in our lives, but ground level love, we need to love others not in a way that shows favoritism. She taught them that it's okay to manipulate your children and to persuade them to do wrong. You know, even Jacob questions this action that she's encouraging him to do. And so, her how-to video is how you go about life is to get what you want. It's okay for you to manipulate someone else and get them to do something wrong. She taught them it's okay to lie to your spouse to get what you want. You know, our greatest, for those of us who are married, our greatest relationship other than with the Lord needs to be with our spouse. And here she's sacrificing that. What else does she teach them? She taught them that it's okay to deceive really anyone if it's in your best interest. What are some of the results of Rebecca's actions? She hurts her relationship with God, first and foremost. She hurts her relationship with Isaac, her husband. She hurts her relationship with her son Esau. She influences Esau to hate his brother. And she influences Jacob's integrity. Consider, sometimes as I read the Bible, I forget all these relationships are connected. And I was just considering, you know, who Jacob becomes. Jacob is the man who gets renamed Israel. The 12 tribes of Israel. Jacob is the one who has the 12 sons, who has the favorite son. Wonder where he learned that. The favorite son, Joseph. The coat of many colors. He's the dad who did that. Where did he learn that? He learned it from mom. Now, I don't think Rebecca wanted to create all this strife. I think she, in a misguided way, was trying to be loving to her son Jacob. But she allowed that that desire, that good desire to bless a child, to be distorted. And I believe the enemy is involved in this. You know, that's Satan's tactics, right? He's to steal, kill, and destroy. He takes our God-given right desires and tries to twist them. He does that with physical attraction. You know, God gives us a right physical attraction for the opposite gender, and Satan tries to twist that into lust and beyond. He gives us a right and good desire to work hard, and sometimes that gets twisted into pride, into power, into greed. Parents want the best for their kids, right? That's a good desire, but I believe the enemy can sometimes twist that in our lives. Tempt us to take shortcuts, to compromise our integrity. Do you or I, those of us who are parents, or those of you who maybe have younger relatives in your life, do you show favoritism to certain family members? Parents, have you ever done your kids' homework for them? Have you ever lied for them on an excuse card? Do you speak disrespectfully of a teacher or other adults or a boss or a neighbor? What are we teaching? What's the how-to video I'm showing? We joke sometimes about how grandparents spoil their grandkids. And of course we want to bless them, and we're in a different... I say we, I'm not a grandparent yet, but grandparents want to bless. But that too, I think, could be carried too far. Be careful what we're teaching. Don't fall into Satan's temptation to lead you to sin for a good cause. I believe, like I said before, I don't think Rebecca was out to make this whole family dysfunctional, but she passed on a sin to her son, to her sons. That continued, and really until you know, Joseph's brothers end up throwing him in a pit and selling him. And until that relationship was restored in Joseph's lifetime, that curse really wasn't broken. Think about your own life and examine your own life, your words and your actions. What are you teaching? What are you and I teaching other people? And I'd offer this too. Consider giving someone else in your life the freedom to speak into your life. You know, if I don't think Rebecca saw this. If, you know, we look at Joseph buying this coat of many colors to his favorite son, and we say, how could he? Isn't that obvious that that's showing favoritism, and that the other brothers are going to get upset about it? And yet that's what Jacob was raised on, being a favorite by his mother. I don't think it was obvious to her. I don't think it was obvious to Jacob as a father. And I think there are things perhaps in our lives that maybe aren't obvious to us. So I propose maybe it's right for us to give someone else, a close friend in our lives, the permission to speak into our lives in a way that gives honest feedback. Like asking them, you know, if you look at my life and what I'm portraying and what I'm showing, would you do anything differently? Is there anything in my life that you would do differently? Do my words or actions say something that you don't think I'm really wanting to portray? When we get pictures taken in a formal way, we pose for our pictures. We smile nicely for the camera. We arrange our family. Have you ever seen some pictures of yourself where you weren't expecting it? Someone took a picture of you and you weren't ready for it. And you see that picture later and you think, I wasn't ready for that. Don't get rid of that picture. There was a picture. So I coach junior high track and field, and at the league meet, there's photographers going around. And several years ago, I was scanning through the pictures later, a couple days later, mostly of athletes. Well, there's this random picture of me and another coach walking, you know, across the field. And, I had one of those Under Armour tight, you know, shirts on, and I could see a little pudge here. I'm like, ugh. Like, get rid of that picture. But it was seeing something through somebody else's eyes. And maybe sometimes we need that. And God is that for us. The Holy Spirit is that for us. That's Psalm 139 when we ask God, you know, search me. See if there's anything in me. God, reveal that to me. That's where it starts. We all ought to be doing that. God, help me to be honest in receiving your honest feedback of me. But maybe sometimes we could also ask someone else to say, would you do anything differently if you looked at my life? Am I portraying anything that I don't want to portray? Am I teaching my kids something that I don't think I really want to be teaching them? That takes some vulnerability and that takes some trust in that relationship with someone you might perhaps give that freedom to speak into your life like that. But I think it could be very valuable and could be helpful to us. Don't fall for Satan's temptations to lead you to sin for a good cause. We are all constantly teaching one another. Examine your own life, your words, and your actions. What are you teaching? And maybe allow someone else to examine you also. Let's pray. God, thank you so much for your love for us. I thank you for the mothers that have been in our lives. I thank you, Father, for my mother. Thank you for so many good ways they have influenced us, Lord. I am so blessed, and many of us here are so blessed. God, as we have opportunity to teach others by our words and actions, help us to teach the things of you. Help us to not influence those who would come after us in ways like this story shows, that lead to deceit and lies and sin that carries on to other generations. Help us to break any of that. God, if there are relationships in our lives that would be helpful to see our own lives through other people's eyes, help us have the courage to invite someone else to be honest in giving their thoughts and perspective. Thank you for your love, and thank you for Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen.
Well, this message this morning was good for us all to hear, and not just mothers, but all of us. And before I lead the closing song, if you'll permit me, I'd like to make just a comment or two. One is that in the background to the scripture we had this morning, when Rebecca was pregnant with the boys, these boils jostled in her womb, the Bible says in Genesis 25, and it was that much that she inquired of the Lord. And the Bible says, the Lord said, there are two nations, two peoples in your womb, and that the older would serve the younger. So that's in the background of the text. The problem was, evidently, that Rebecca felt she has to help God do it, and did it in deceitful ways. I have no doubt that God would have done that in his own way and righteous timing. That's in the background. The other thing, the scripture does not leave Isaac off the hook. One of the background problems here is the Bible says that Isaac loved Esau and Rebekah loved Jacob. I believe it's God's intent for the husband and wife relationship to be the primary relationship and the parent-to-children relationship the secondary relationship. In fact, statistics will bear it out that many of the family problems of our day can be traced back to those two fundamental things of parents, husband and wife, loving each other. And after all, that's the relationship that the scripture uses to describe an ideal relationship between a believer and the Lord, the husband and wife relationship. So it's a family dynamic here. I've chosen for us to sing 461 in the Mennonite hymnal, Happy the Home When God Is There, and Love Fills Every Blessed, When One Their Wish and One Their Prayer and One Their Heavenly Rest. A beautiful song of a family that is functioning in the love of God. Join as we sing this one together.
For those comments. I think that added to the message. What things would you like to share? Any praises, prayer requests, comments?
This is Todd. I'm going to try to not wake the baby while I talk. So just thank you all for your support of the youth group with our fundraiser meal last week. Also, a recognition to Cindy for helping to pull a lot of the food and everything together, and the youth for the hours that you guys put in as well. So thank you all for making the fundraiser a success for us. For our trip, we have the funds necessary now to go, so thank you all for blessing us in that way. If you have any questions about the trip or where we're going or things like that, if you weren't here last Sunday, you can ask one of the youth and they can let you know what's going on.
This is Cindy. I just had scans and blood work done again, and this is 5 years out, so I'm done, I'm clean, and I don't have to go back and get them done again.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord.
Hi, my name is Mike Calfoot. Excuse me. I'm from Adamstown and formerly with the, still with the EC Church here in Adamstown. I'd like to report we have some good news and we would like your prayer. We're now in fellowship with a group called Abundant Life, and they're from Lancaster. It's Hispanic. They're right now using our building and hopefully, Lord willing, we'll be back sometime in June. But I'd like you to all know that we have a food bank in Adamstown, and we're going to expand it. It's not very large right now, but we're hoping to expand and also be able to have non-perishable goods. We have a non-requisite food bank. We don't ask any information about people's financial situation. We're going to distribute flyers to different areas, you know, supermarkets and some churches. But just keep us in your prayers that the Lord is leading us in the right direction. And Phil, you know our situation. And hopefully we'll be back in a strong witness again in the Adamstown Main Street area.
Thank you.
We can remember Esther as she continues her travel abroad, and also an announcement that June 2nd is a 3v3 basketball tournament in Adamstown. So if you know people that like to play basketball, get a team together and hopefully we'll have a good time. Thanks.
Thank you.
This is Kelly. This is just a reminder that this summer there's going to be a women's elective Sunday school class, and there's a sign-up sheet on the table in the narthex. If you could possibly do that today, that would be helpful just for ordering materials. It's on the book Adorned by Nancy Lee DeMoss-Walgamuth from Revive Our Hearts. It's a great intergenerational study based on Titus 2 about how women can influence each other's lives.
This is Doug, and I'll follow up with offering the men's elective class this summer. It's called Stepping Up, put out by Family Life Ministries. Again, it's intergenerational, from teenage up to grandfather. It's men speaking to men, the lesson from God's Word about to be the courageous leaders that we need to be, whether teenagers, young fathers, empty nesters, grandfathers, whatever stage of life you're in, God's Word is directing us to be courageous leaders. So there's a sign-up sheet in the narthex to sign up so we can get a count of how many books. There will be For those who choose not to choose a women's or men's elective class, there will be continuing the regular quarterly Sunday school lesson. We'll also have teachers lined up for that class also. Thanks.
I would ask for some help from the young men ushers. There's some carnations in the back, so any ladies 18 and over, you can help offer them a carnation today. It would be great. I invite you to stand for a closing prayer. Father, thank you for your love for us, and thank you, Lord, for teaching us through your word. Thank you, Lord, for the youth of our church and the successful fundraiser meal last week. Thank you that the funds are raised for their upcoming trip, and we commit that time to you and ask for your blessing on them as they go, and the work that's done, the relationships that they'll have there, the experience that each one of them will have in that trip. We commit it to you, God. We praise you and thank you for the good report from Cindy and her good health. And I thank you for that and being with her on that journey. Thank you for Mike sharing about EC Church in Adamstown and their relationship with Abundant Life. We ask for your blessing on that collaborative effort. Thank you for their food bank. And just pray that you would continue to be with that group, with that church, with their presence, their ministry, their holding up the light of Christ in Adamstown. Please bless and prosper it, God. Thank you for Esther and her travels in China and reconnecting with many former students and relationships she had there. I pray, God, that you would be with her and just orchestrate who she should be talking to, who she should be spending time with, and who she can be encouraging in their walks with you. Guide that, Lord, we ask. Thank you for the opportunity for a basketball tournament that we can host in a small way to be a light in our community. Thanks that that's been a good thing the past several years, and I ask that you would bless it again, and in some way through how we interact, that your love would be recognized. Thank you for the upcoming Sunday school classes, and I pray that that would be a fruitful time in a different way as we meet men and women in those classes, that you would teach us things in our faith and growth in you. As we go from this place, God, we commit ourselves to you, thanking you most of all for Jesus, and that you, like your word says, you will bring us times of refreshing. In Jesus' name, amen. Go in peace.